We're looking at the 11th Psalm, number 150. There are 150 Purakim of Tehillim, and Sefer Tehillim is divided into five books. The five books of Tehillim correspond to the five books in the written Torah. Sefer Tehillim is a book of refuah, the saying of Tehillim, simply saying it. Even sometimes a person doesn't even understand the words that they're saying or the import. Actually saying the words affects a healing on a spiritual level for all of the ills of exile. In the five books of the written Torah, Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim, in the book of Shemos, we have the entire story of exile. This is the first time Jews go into exile. The exile that we're in now, we can see principles of it here in this exile. Before Hashem sent us into exile, He gave us something that would be an antidote. There's a principle in the Torah, Chazal tell us, Hashem never sends the makkah before He sends the refuah. Hashem always gives us the remedy for an illness or for an affliction before He sends the affliction. When we went into our first exile, Hashem hinted, He's not giving us the affliction of exile, the makkah of exile, until He first gives us its remedy, and He hints that there will be a book called Tehillim, even here. These are the names of the children of Israel who came into Egypt with Yaakov, every man in his household, Ish Uvei Saival. The last letters of the first words in Shemos, when put in the right order, spell Tehillim. Hey, Taf, Yud, Lamed, Tehillim. Right. Tehillim. And that Hashem has given us the antidote for the exile in saying the Psalms. Wow. So this first person, I heard that from Rebbetzin Freifeld, she showed me that, and then I never saw it inside until about 20 years later. She was nifter, she passed away, and I never got to ask her, who brings that? Where is it brought in the Torah? Finally I found it. It's in the Likutei Moharan. Rabbi Nachman's major work. So all of Sefer Tehillim is written by 10 different tzaddikim. Not just King David. Right. Most people think that. But it was not. It was written by 10 different tzaddikim.
All around the same period?
No.
Different times?
Totally different times. Throughout the history of mankind. Here, you look at the first Rashi on Sefer Tehillim. Rashi's first comment. So on the first perek of Tehillim, Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach ba'atzos hashayim u'b'derech ha'tayim lo amad u'mashav leitzim lo yashav. Rashi, as the book of Tehillim opens, this is the antidote to exile. It's the healing of our souls. Rashi's first comment, Ashrei ha'ish, happy is the man. This book of Tehillim is written with 10 types of song, zemel. 10 types of song we're going to find throughout the 150 Purakim of Tehillim. Mentioning this because Halleluka, which we're finding in the one that you picked, in Kufnon, is one of the 10 kinds of song. So, 10 kinds of song with which this work is constructed. Tehillim is not prophecy, it's written in something called Ruach HaKodesh, a divine inspiration, which is a different level of input from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
But they didn't hear from God, but they were inspired and open to receiving.
Right. This is.
But it's their words.
Exactly.
It's not the
exactly.
Words of God. Right.
It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words.
What are the 10 different kinds of song?
Chazal bring it in Pesachim, in Masechet Pesachim, Kuf Yud Zayin, 117. But Rashi brings that here. That's why women really don't have to learn Gemara. If you just learn Rashi, you can learn on all of Tanakh, wherever we need it. So here, Be'aseres Lashana Shel Zimmer, Namar Sefer Zeh. Netzurach, Nigun, Mizmor, Shir, Halel, Tfila, Bracha, Hodaya, Ashrei, and Halleluka. And that these forms, these 10 forms of song are keneged, Rashi continues, keneged, the Yud B'nai Adam, the 10 people who said them. And here are the 10 composers of Sefer Tehillim of the Book of Psalms. And he lists them. Adam, Malchit said, Adam said, Perek Kuf Lametes, 139. was composed by Adam. The first Adam. Man. Yeah. First one was composed by Adam. That's why I said it spans all of human history. 139. And it was passed down through the generations. Adam, Melchizedek.
Who's Melchizedek?
We'll find out who's Melchizedek. Mm-hmm. Avraham, Moshe, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Mm-hmm. David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, Asaf.
Asaf?
No, not Asaf. Asaf. Aleph Samach Peh, in the face of feet. He was one of the Levim. And the three sons of Korach, the concept that we're working with 10 means of human expression of the soul, which are called these 10 types of song. We're not talking about sonata form and rondo and symphony and chorale and things like that. We're not talking about music. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a much bigger palette of human expression. Mm-hmm. All of music, art, architecture, everything can fit into a little corner of one of the types of song.
I see.
But these are the possibilities of human expression that haven't even begun to be explored and developed yet. And that in the time of Mashiach, people will be able to use all of their capacities on these 10 types of song to the extent that a person knows about them. So a person who knows that there are 10 kinds of song is going to be more ready in the time of Mashiach to be able to express their gratitude, their hodayah, their ashrei, hallel, because they're going to have an education in them based on what we learn from our Torah. Based, for instance, on what we learn every time we say Perek of Tehillim, we're understanding from the masters what the potentials are, but it will be expanded then.
Did David HaMelech write a specific type? Adam wrote a specific one, or they all wrote?
No, they all wrote on many levels. So you can see in the superscription, usually in the first pasuk of the psalm, gives us a hint about who wrote it. Some we have to look into the oral Torah, and Rashi will explain who wrote it, or one of the Mefarshim, the Chachamim in the Medrash.
Kol
ha-neshama,
ha-neshama,
tehalel,
tehalel,
ya,
hallelujah.
Beautiful. So this is the form of song called Hallelujah. And as I explained before, I'm not going to say the name Hashem. The Yud and the He compose one of the names of Hashem. Mm-hmm. Hashem has revealed a number of names. And that Yud and He is the name especially that we use in the time of exile.
So if I were going to write that on this piece of paper right now, would I be able to...
Y-A-H, you mean in English? Or Yud and He?
Yud He. What do you
Well, I don't even say Yud and He. I don't say...
Say Yud and He.
Right, I put a...
And in between.
Right, and when I write it on a piece of paper, I put a little line between the Yud and the He. Right.
So far, I was gonna...
All right, the word Hallelujah is a composite of two words, Hallelujah and Ka, the name of Hashem. Whether it's written as one word or two with a hyphen is a disagreement among the sages in the Talmud. And there's never been a real consensus reached. So we'll find both kinds of spelling in different editions of Sefer Tehillim. David HaMelech and the other sages who wrote Tehillim put together 104 parokim of Tehillim before the word Hallelujah appears. The word Hallelujah appears for the first time in the Book of Psalms in Psalm number 104 because it describes the destruction of evil from the world. Only when evil is wiped out from the world can we praise Hashem with the highest praise, which is called Hallelujah. It is the highest. And we have a number of kinds of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu up until Psalm number 104. And only after the wiping out of evil from the world can we achieve Hallelujah, the ability to really praise Hashem with all of our soul at this high level. Shlomo HaMelech, Solomon, said in Proverbs, Yud Aleph, Proverbs 11, when wickedness perishes, we see in Kuf Dalet in 104, David HaMelech points out that we're not rejoicing that people are wiped out. We're rejoicing the wicked that's within the people is wiped out. Mm-hmm. When that happens, then we can really praise Hashem. Mm-hmm. Notice that this Yud and He, Ka, this name of Hashem, appears as part of Hallelujah. But it's only a piece of Hashem's four-letter name. You know, usually when we see Hashem's name written in the four-letter name, mm-hmm. it's Yud and He and Vav and He. Mm-hmm. This Yud and He together is also a separate name of Hashem, but it's only a piece of the four-letter name of Hashem, the quality of Hashem that's chesed, loving-kindness. And since the destruction of the temple, this Yud and the He, this piece of Hashem, that is, it's a fragmentation of Hashem's kindness. Since the destruction of the temples, it's like we're operating with only a fragment of our perception of Hashem's kindness. It's not that Hashem is less kind. It's that our perception has been fragmented. We only have access to a piece of His name. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wipes out evil from the world, we try on our own little level. You know, we do our mitzvahs. We try to keep all of Hashem's mitzvahs. We try to do what we can. That's our job. Our job is not to wipe out evil from the world. It's too big. We can't do that. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us, he assures us, if we try to do what we can to make our little house kosher, you know, our little table kosher, our heart kosher, He'll take care of all the evil in the world. He only gives us a job that we can actually do. So until that time when He wipes out all of the other evil, we're functioning with only a piece of awareness of His kindnesses. To the extent that a person learns Torah and davens, they can have more awareness and more access to Hashem's four-letter name. They can have access to the name Elohim. They can have, to the extent that the person has cultivated an awareness of Hashem, to that extent they're opening the pipelines of bracha. The more we learn, the more we create a vessel. Probably you come across this in Rav Dessler's work. What creates these cups? We're under Niagara Falls. It's tons of bracha falling around us. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting here and we don't have a cup. What makes the cup? Tefillah. Mm-hmm. A blessing. Mm-hmm. We see it in Sefer Tehillim, mm-hmm. where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. That's why the mouth itself, it's like a cup. It's actually like a clay, a vessel. When we make a bracha, when we daven, every word of prayer, even a word of thanks, like Baruch Hashem, a recognition, acknowledgement of Hashem, this makes a vessel. The relationship between a man and a woman makes a vessel, a clay, a place for his bracha. Torah, words of Torah make vessels. All of this is creating kelim for this Niagara Falls. Mm-hmm. We see this, the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. We're a little fragmented, even the kli of Am Yisrael, even how much Torah we learn and how much tefillah we say, we're still a little bit fragmented. And in the time when Hashem wipes out the evil, then we'll have the full name again. We'll have access to the real name that we don't pronounce now. We don't know how this Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. We don't know how to pronounce it. Mm-hmm. Hashem will teach us, or Mashiach Tzidken will teach us. Somehow we'll know again. Mm-hmm. On that day, Hashem will be one and His name will be one. What does this mean? Hashem isn't one now? It means on that day, everyone will have access to this one name of Hashem, that everyone can tap into the kindness. Hallelujah. And that will happen when Hashem wipes out the evil. And then we can really praise Hallelujah. We're praising this aspect of Hashem, mm-hmm. that was present with us all through exile. Even in our fragmented way of perceiving Him, we're praising that. We'll be able to praise Hashem for everything that He did in this exile. It's like He'll give us a light to shine on the events of our own life. We can see, why did that happen? Why was I born in this particular family with this particular set of problems, mm-hmm. in this particular... Everything will then be making sense. And we'll be able to hallel, give praise to Ka, that Yud in the Hay, that aspect of Hashem that seems removed and mysterious and hidden. It seems to be sending us difficulties. It's like the concept we saw in last week's Parsha, Astir, I will hide my face. Hashem is hiding from us. Even that aspect of Hashem will be able to praise when He wipes out the evil from the world. We'll be given a great light so we're able to see why everything happened to us. what that meant, not only in our lifetime, generations before, why our parents are the way they are, why our grandparents are the way they are, all the way back. What are we doing now? Why is it so hard? We're doing what's called tikkun dohod. We're trying to fix the generations. We're standing here. We've got to do tshuva, not only for ourselves. We're doing the work of any generation that came before us who didn't do the tshuva. If I don't do it, my children are going to have to do it, and it's going to be even harder for them. Mm-hmm. It's like saying, the buck stops here. I'm not going to pass the buck on. The tikkun dohod, the fixing of the generation. All right, let me take it on. Whatever I can do, I'll do. My children will have to do what they can do. Mm-hmm. We're doing things that have many lives are involved in the work. Rav Chaim of Volozhin and Rav Chaim comments on this teaching that these 10 tzaddikim, composers of Tehillim, are parallel to the 10 pronouncements by Hashem with which Hashem created the world. Rav Chaim of Volozhin brings there in Ruach HaChaim that the world was created with 10 divine pronouncements. One is a hidden utterance. It's not actually clear in the written Torah what that utterance is, and there's a machlochus, but there are 9 very clear pronouncements with which Hashem created the world. This means Hashem created the world. He chose to create the world with speech, with the power of speech. And he also, when he gave the Torah, he chose to frame the Torah within the frame of the 10 commandments. Again, the number 10. This was to show that the world, which was created by 10 pronouncements, 10 utterances of Hashem, that there's a seder to the Bria, there's an order to creation, and that Hashem will exact punishment from anyone who corrupts the world by going against the 10 commandments given at Sinai, and that Hashem will reward the righteous who uphold the world that was created by 10 pronouncements. We see this number 10, the 10 righteous individuals who created Sefer Tehillim. We know that there are 10 sefirot in the hidden world, 10 conduits through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts his light, puts existence into the world. 10 conduits. These are the sefirot. And through these 10 sefirot, Hashem reveals his presence in the world. This is in the hidden side of Torah. This is nistar, in the writings that are beneath the surface level of learning Torah. He also enlivens and sustains the world through these 10 conduits that are ongoing pipelines of life. We see this, number 10, also reflected in the 10 types of song that we mentioned. All of these 10s are related. The 10 types of song are our way to respond back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his input of 10 in creation. And a very interesting thing that Chazal bring, there are 10 different types of pulses in the human body that enliven and invigorate the different systems. These 10 pulses, the science of diagnosis by means of these 10 pulses is a very deep inyan. There were people who knew the science of how to diagnose the spirit, the soul from the 10 pulses. And for instance, there's an account of the Baal Shem Tov, he was an orphan, and he studied with Adam Baal Shem Tov, who was his Rebbe. And there was a passing down of certain information that was hidden from the rest of the Jewish world. But the Baal Shem Tov actually knew about these 10 kinds of pulses. And how did he come to be called the Baal Shem Tov? The master of a good name. Because he used to go from town to town and heal people. He knew tremendous worlds in Torah. So what the Baal Shem Tov did was he went from town to town. If there was someone who was given a bad diagnosis or the doctors couldn't heal them, they knew that they could call the Baal Shem Tov. And he was known as a miracle worker because of going and helping people when all the doctors had given up. He acquired a very good reputation, and the doctors, needless to say, of his time, hated him. There was even one doctor threatened to shoot him if he ever saw him, because people began to call the Baal Shem Tov instead of calling to the doctors, because he was instrumental in helping the person have a refuah shelema, a real cure, because he helped the person do tshuva also, and this helped with the real refuah. So one account was that some kind of a nobleman and his wife had a large estate, very, very wealthy, in the area where the Baal Shem Tov lived. And the Duchess, we'll call her, said to her husband, you know, I've heard about this, the Baal Shem Tov, I've heard this story, and she was telling over to guests also the greatness of the Baal Shem Tov. And present at this meeting was their family doctor, who had been their family doctor for many years. And he was just making fun, and he said, ah, just let the Baal Shem Tov, let him come here. I want to see if he's really a quack. I've just heard too much about this. This is nonsense. I'm sure I can disprove him in 5 minutes. Summon him here. I want to speak with him, and I'll show you who he really is. So Baal Shem Tov summoned to his estate, and there was a large assembly of people to witness whatever was going to happen. So the Baal Shem Tov met the doctor, and the doctor said, how do you know what you know? And the Baal Shem Tov said, I learned it from the Torah. And the doctor said, you can diagnose me, and I'll diagnose you, and we'll see if we're right. The Baal Shem Tov said, good, the method of diagnosis is going to be simply by hearing the pulse. So all the guests were watching, and the doctor took the Baal Shem Tov's pulse, and he detected something was wrong, but he didn't know what. And the reason why he didn't know what is because the Baal Shem Tov had something that's called a love sickness for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is, he so longed always to be in the presence of the Shechina that his body was actually in a weakened state. So it's described in Sir Hashir in this state. So the doctor detected something, but he said, I sense a certain weakness in a certain area, but I don't know what it is, and I don't know what to call it. The Baal Shem Tov said, you know, good, yes, I do have that weakness. Now it's my turn. So he took the doctor's pulse, and then he turned to the count and the countess, and he said, tell me, have you had a robbery here lately? So the count and the countess said, no, not really. And then the Baal Shem Tov said, well, are there certain things missing from your household? Certain jewelry, certain silverware, certain things. He named the items exactly and he described them. And the countess said, yes, but they've been missing for a good 10 years more. And we'd given up. We knew there was a robbery, but we never recovered them. So the Baal Shem Tov said, go to this doctor's house. Go to the cabinet that's in his room, open it up, and you'll find all your missing items. They sent messengers, servants, they found all of the missing items, brought them back, and the doctor left in disgrace. The Baal Shem Tov was able to use the power of diagnosis through these 10 types of pulses, not only to perceive what's physically wrong, but what's spiritually wrong with the person. Because every mitzvah connects to some part of the human body. Shlomo HaMelech had a book called the Sefer HaRefuos, and in it he gave the cure for all diseases. But Chizkiyahu HaMelech had this book hidden away because people were turning to this book instead of turning to Hashem. Mm. And this was accounted as a very good thing that Chizkiyahu HaMelech did.
All right, so we don't have that book.
We might, but it's hidden from us. It's not accessible right now.
I'd love to study that.
A person who has access to Emunah has more access to all of the refuahs. In Baba Kama, Tzadik Beis, 92, Amud Beis, all illness we brought from the Torah, the Pasuk, and Hashem will bless your bread and your water, which is brought in Shemos, 23, Pasuk 25, that this bracha that Hashem put in our bread and our water refers to the morning bread, paschafas. When we eat in the morning, we're supposed to have a little bread dipped in salt. A number of diseases are healed through simply eating the bread with the salt. On a simpler level, the refuahs are already with us in a much simpler, simpler way than even in the Sefer Refuahs. This is what we were talking about last time, the importance of the Jewish table. When we're eating, what we're doing is we're preventing illness on a very deep level, on the level of emunah. And very important that a person eat a little bread, or some people hold it's just a mizonos, anything that you can make a mizonos on even, dipped in salt, and to drink water from a pitcher, that is water that was covered at night, water that was not left open. All right, so now all of this. To explain, the number 10, the 10 kinds of song found in Sefer Tehillim, actually are invigorating these 10 kinds of pulses. Mm-hmm. Explaining how the refuah, the healing aspect of Sefer Tehillim, is coming down. This is brought by Rabbi Nachman, based on the Zohar and other sources, in his major work, the Likutei Moran, which is written down by Rav Nassim. Mm-hmm. Person wants to look at all of this inside, they can see in Torah 24, in part 2, and Torah number Aleph, Torah number 1, also in part 2 of the Likutei Moran.